The mercy to the world, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO, the mercy to the world. Some amazing stories about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what the people did to sacrifice everything at the feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that Islam gained great heights. Now you'll remember from last week where we left it, where the Muslims started to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara and the Kuffar of Makkah had this meeting under some very, very strange or special in that way guests as well. But I'll come back to that and I'll give you a recap. But before I go anywhere else, let me start with a beautiful Hadith-e Mubarakah. Honestly, this is life-changing. Hadith-e Mubarakah on the benefits of Durood-e Pak. Now, when we all get up in the morning, we have our plans. I'm going to do this, this, and this today. I'm going to try and achieve different things. But during the day, you're not always successful. Well, let me give you a secret today that will make sure that your needs are taken care of by Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah. How amazing is that? Listen to this beautiful hadith in Mubarak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sends salat upon me 100 times a day, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of his needs. 70 in the hereafter and 30 in this world. SubhanAllah. So when you get up for Fajr Salah, maybe it'll take you 2 minutes, 3 minutes, recite a tasbih 100 times, Durood-e Pak from the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 70 needs of the day of judgment are taken care of, and 30 for your day. And whoever has 30 of his needs, you know, his necessary tasks taken on, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to help him, then all he looks forward to all day is success wherever he goes. So try and make it a habit. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's question, how many Hajj and Umrah did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform? Now as usual, we're going to go to a beautiful kalam and a beautiful naat that is being recited. And let's just sit back, relax, and enjoy these couplets in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, 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 Madina. Madine jaane walo jao, jao fi amanillah. Madine jaane walo jao, jao fi amanillah. اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب دن گنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب دن گنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا ہر ہر قدم پہ ہوگی لطف و کرم کی بارش ہر ہر قدم پہ ہوگی لطف و کرم کی بارش جنت سے کم نہیں ہے رستہ میرے نبی کا جنت سے کم نہیں ہے رستہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شیدا میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا
یوں جنتی سفر کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے، یوں جنتی سفر کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے، دستے کرم ہے ان پر رکھا میرے نبی کا، دستے کرم ہے ان پر رکھا میرے نبی کا،
سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، تیبہ کو جا رہا ہے شہدا میرے نبی کا،
سب
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
سب حاجیوں کے لب پر ذکر نبی جاری، سب حاجیوں کے لب پر ذکر نبی جاری،
ہے محفل حرم میں چرچا میرے نبی کا، ہے محفل حرم میں چرچا میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا، جا رہا ہے شہدا میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
پائے نبی کی خوشبو ہے اب بھی ہر گلی میں، پائے نبی کی خوشبو ہے اب بھی ہر گلی میں،
کتنا مہک رہا ہے مکہ میرے نبی کا، کتنا مہک رہا ہے مکہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
کو جا رہا ہے شہدا میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
سرکار کی بدولت یہ برکتیں گے ساری، سرکار کی بدولت یہ برکتیں گے ساری،
ہے اجتماع حج بھی صدقہ میرے نبی کا، ہے اجتماع حج بھی صدقہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
کو جا رہا ہے شہدا میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
حاصل مجھے بھی ہوگی سب سے بڑی مسرت، حاصل مجھے بھی ہوگی سب سے بڑی مسرت،
جس دن مجھے بلاوا آیا میرے نبی کا، جس دن مجھے بلاوا آیا میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
کو جا رہا ہے شہدا میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
عشق و ادب میں ڈل کر میرا سلام کہنا، عشق و ادب میں ڈل کر میرا سلام کہنا،
جس وقت ہو نظر میں روزہ میرے نبی کا، جس وقت ہو نظر میں روزہ میرے نبی کا، سب گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
کو جا رہا ہے شہدا میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے ہیں نغمہ میرے نبی کا،
اب کیجئے فریدی رخصت انہیں یہ کہہ کر، اب کیجئے فریدی رخصت انہیں یہ کہہ کر،
لانا میرے لیے بھی تحفہ میرے نبی کا، لانا میرے
وفا میرے نبی کا
سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا
تیبہ
کو جا رہا گے شیدہ میرے نبی کا
تیبہ
سب گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا
تیبہ
گنگنا رہے گے نغمہ میرے نبی کا.
SubhanAllah, what a beautiful kalam that was. It brought back the memories of Madinatul Munawwara. And one of the couplets, what the poet said was, you know, the greatest day and the greatest moment of my life is when I receive an invitation from your court, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just imagine, you know, this is the court that even the blessed prophets wanted to visit. This is the court that the entire creation of Allah azza wa jalla is longing for. And how, you know, fortunate is that person who gets the opportunity to go to Madinah Park and to the Rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars write that, you know, even the angels are dying to come down and see this beautiful place. And 70,000 come in the morning, 70,000 visit in the evening, and once they've been once, they never get the opportunity to come again. And yet, look at the mercy of the mercy to the world, that the ummati can go time and time again. May Allah take us back there time and time again and give us entry into the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has that adab and respect and honor in the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's when you gain the true blessings of Allah azza wa jal. May Allah azza wa jal bless us all. We're going to move to our segment. I'll give you a quick recap before I do. So what we were discussing last week was how, when the Muslims were being persecuted, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to give the invitation to Islam and the keys to Jannah to the people. We talked last week about the tragedy of Taif and how the people of Taif treated Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he made dua for them. And then how Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at festivals and at the time of Hajj carried on inviting people, and then certain villages and certain tribes from Madinah al-Munawwara came to the court of the best of creation and started to accept Islam. So in Madinah al-Munawwara, Islam is now gaining strength. So because the Muslims were being persecuted in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they are given permission to migrate and to get away from the persecution, because they could practice their deen and they could worship Allah Azza wa Jal without the fear of the kuffar in Madinah al-Munawwara. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives permission. Now, initially, the kuffar are relieved that they've gone, but then they realize something. So we're going to start our next section. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
So, initially the kuffar are relieved, but then they soon realize that everybody's migrating and Islam is going to become strong in Medina. We can't allow this. How can we let everybody just go and practice their religion freely? So they call a meeting. And they call a meeting in a mansion, and they invite all the leaders of the Quraysh there. It's a large meeting. Darul Nadwa, assembly house. And most significant, most prominent people from the Arab tribes are there. And you've got the likes of Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Utbah, Shaybah, all these people, all these enemies of Islam coming together. And they're all there for one question. How do you put an end to Islam? How do we stop this religion from growing? We've been trying for all these years, and yet we've not been able to make the impact we wanted to. And this amazing person is continuing to preach, and day by day, people are coming into the fold of Islam. Islam is getting stronger. We have to put an end to this. Now, in this meeting, there was one entity that was different to everybody else. This entity was there to give them wicked and evil ideas. The entity was evil in itself. Why? Because it was Iblis himself. The scholars write that Satan, the cursed, actually turned up at that meeting. and wanted to join with these kuffar, these disbelievers, to plan against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. He came in the form of an elderly man, wearing coarse garments, and the people didn't recognize him. And so they asked him, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I'm an old man from Najd who has heard what you have arranged the meeting for, and I've come to lend you advice." The Quraysh had a discussion saying, "Well, this old man's come. He's wanting to help us and advise us. Shall we leave him?" So they decide to say, "Yeah, you take a seat as well," even though it was a meeting of all the leaders. So in the meeting, they began to discuss what did they do about the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and how did they put an end to Islam. So Abu al-Bakhtri, he suggests, let's arrest him, keep him in fetters, lock him up, tie both of his hands, both of his legs, na'uzubillah, and give him food through a small hatch in the room, and then that will slowly solve the problem. Iblis objects. He says, "That's not a very good plan. That won't work. Not a good idea." His followers are loyal. This is Iblis, Shaitan, Satan himself. He's saying his followers are so loyal, they will sacrifice their own lives for him. You can't lock this person in a room and expect that Islam will go away. It's not a very good idea. Think of another one. So then another person gets up and he suggests, "Let us expel him from amongst us and banish him from our lands. He would thus be stopped from spreading and preaching Islam. And this would stop people hearing the Quran, because whenever they hear this book, they seem to be mesmerized by it and they're attracted to Islam and they fall at the feet of this person." So he says, "Let's just banish him." Again, Iblis is infuriated. He said, "What sort of idea is that? That's not going to work. Your idea is cursed. Do you not see the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's discourse and how he dominates the hearts of the people with his message? If you banish him from here, wherever he will go, he will take over the Arabian peninsulas. And so what are you going to do then? Expelling him is not the answer. If you expel him, people, wherever he goes, will be convinced by him. And soon the whole of Arabia will be under his command and you'll be left in a minority. This is not a good idea. What are you going to do?" Once he's gained victory everywhere, he will come back. These are the words of Satan, Iblis himself. He says, once he gains victory everywhere else, he will come back and then inevitably enslave you all. That is not an option even worth considering. You can't banish him. Bad idea. Sit down. So then Abu Jahl, the leader of the ignorant, he gets up. And he says, "Oh people, I have an idea that no one yet has considered." The attendees eagerly await. Iblis is thinking, what is this servant of mine going to come up with? So he says, "Look, my idea is this. We take one man from each tribe and we send them to attack Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to kill him, na'uzu billah. And the reason we take one from each tribe is if any one person does it, or one tribe is given the, you know, takes the responsibility for it, look, the Hashmis, the Qurayshis, the people who are protecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will obliterate them. But if there's one from every tribe, they can't fight all of us. And eventually they will mourn the death of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then they will think, well, they'll have to settle for blood money. And we will all put money in to a pot and we'll pay them the blood money. And that's a small price to pay to put an end to Islam." At this devilish plan, Iblis stands up happy. He's joyous. And he says to Abu Jahl, "This is a great idea. There is no better solution than the one you have come up with, oh my servant, oh my devotee." And all those present at the meeting agree with Iblis and decide, this is the master plan. We're going to put an end to Islam by doing this. So they all return home with this in mind, that one person from every tribe will go and attack the best of creation. The glorious Quran tells us about this meeting, subhanallah. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Anfal, verse 30, And O beloved prophet, remember when the disbelievers were scheming against you to confine you or to slay or to drive you forth, and they were scheming, and Allah Azza wa Jal was making a secret plan. And Allah's secret plan is the best. No doubt it is. Subhanallah. This ayah mubarakah of the glorious Quran tells us how these people were in this house and how they were scheming, but how Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the best of planners, had planned something amazing. So what happens is that Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh my beloved, the kuffar of Makkah has decided to attack you. Jibreel Amin comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, oh beloved, do not sleep in your bed tonight, but emigrate to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given this command, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes to the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's noon of that afternoon, and entering inside, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, Abu Bakr, is there anybody else about? And he replies, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nobody else about apart from your wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then talks to him and says that I have been given permission to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara, and Abu Bakr, you will come with me. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was already waiting for this moment. He was already preparing in the hope that one day the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would grant him this honor and this privilege, and that day had come. He accepts it graciously and then says, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've been breeding 2 camels for 4 months on special leaves of a special tree to give them strength for this journey of Hijrah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken to these camels, and Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says, Ya Rasulallah alayhi wa sallam, please pick one. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picks a camel, but then insists, Ya Abu Bakr, I will pay you for this camel. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, who had sacrificed everything at the feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't want the price, but Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted, so he accepted. Now, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's elder daughter, Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr, she prepared the provisions for the journey, then packed everything, put it in its place, and once it was all packed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then employed Abdullah ibn Uraykit. Now he was a kafir, a disbeliever at the time, but he was known as an excellent guide, had very good knowledge of the routes to different places. He had traveled, he was like a sat nav of the time, and he was brilliant at what he did. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the 2 camels and said that after 3 days you will come to the cave of Thor, Gharisor. Then all the preparations were done, he leaves. Now look at the planning here. Look at the wisdom of the best of creation. No doubt Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most intelligent, the most knowledgeable, and the most wise in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there are lessons in this for us as well, in that our daily affairs, we don't just get emotional, we don't just get angry, we don't just leave everything to chance, but rather we plan perfectly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had planned everything to perfection. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala was the companion. The children of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala were providing food and help. And this person who knew the routes would bring the camels and take them on special routes. But not just that. The next amazing, clever ploy was to come. As soon as this was all done, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had planned something amazing. Now, in accordance with the agreement that the kuffar had in that house where the shaitan was, they get their people together and they send them to attack Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They surround the house of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isn't the only one there.
Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, can you come there as well? Now, look at the situation. It's just unmatched and unbelievable and unique. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is in the house. He's going to be left in the house to sleep in the bed of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to migrate to Madinah al-Munawwarah. But why Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala put there? Honestly, you'd be amazed by the reason. You know, these kuffar of Makkah, the disbelievers who were persecuting the Muslims, they weren't banks at that time. They weren't safety deposit boxes that they could put their valuables into. And they knew in the whole of Makkah, if they could trust somebody with their wealth and with their jewelry and with their prized possessions, there was only one truthful, honest personality, and that was Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though they were fighting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though they were ready to martyr the best of creation, guess where all their stuff was? It was in the possession of Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew this was the safest place on earth. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Hazrat Ali, return the belongings to their owners and then join us in Medina. Right? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sleeps in the bed of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that night. Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam come out of the house Mubarak. Now the kuffar are surrounding with their swords, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam recites Surah Yasin Sharif, and then there's a veil over their eyes. They don't see the best of creation. Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes some sand and puts it on their heads, and they don't see anything. And after Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has left, somebody who wasn't part of the crew sees this and says, why are you waiting here? The person you were waiting for has passed by you. You didn't even see him, and he's already gone. At that moment, they realize that they didn't see anything, and they had sand in their hair. Now, I want to read to you the translation from Surah Yasin Sharif. This is amazing. Now, what the glorious Quran says is, by the Quran full of wisdom, you are indeed one of the noble messengers on the straight path. The Quran is sent down by the Almighty, the Most Merciful, so that you may warn these people whose ancestors were not warned, and they are therefore unaware. Undoubtedly, it is their disbelief that has proved true for most of them, so they will not believe. We have indeed put shackles around their necks, reaching up to their chins, so they remain facing upwards, and we have set a barrier before them and a barrier behind them and covered them so that they are unable to see anything. And the scholars write that these kuffar who were surrounding the house of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their necks were like this, and they just couldn't see anything. And this was the blessings of the glorious Quran and the amazing, amazing powers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now when it came back to Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was taking the place of the best of creation. He was going to be lying in that bed where they knew that the kuffar of Makkah were going to attack. And yet, he didn't flinch for one moment to put himself in that position, because he had unimaginable love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt about it. And he was given a responsibility as well. And he writes some beautiful couplets. But before I tell you about those, he says something truly amazing. You know what he says? He says, I knew nothing would happen to me, even though I was in the shade of the swords of the kuffar. But why? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, why? How did you know? He said, because my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had used those words, return the belongings to their owners and then join us in Medina. Because the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, join us in Medina, I knew nothing was going to happen to me, because my Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already given me the command to join them in Medina, and I was going to go to Medina to Munawwara, and there was nothing these kuffar could do about it. And he says, that night, that sleep, when I slept in the bed of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when I slept with the Chadar Mubarak, the mantle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the best sleep I ever had. Subhanallah. And he says, I risked my life for the greatest person walking this earth, one more elevated than those who circumambulate the Kaaba and Al-Hijr. When the Prophet ﷺ feared the deceit of the disbelievers of Makkah, but was saved by my Lord, the possessor of majesty, saved them from the deceptions. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Al-Zurqani writes this beautiful call of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves, and these kuffar can't see. Eventually, when they come in, they see Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala there, and they let him go, but they search the house and they can't find anybody else. Allahu Akbar. This was such an amazing, amazing thing. There was another very similar incident, actually, that happened earlier. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, you know, remember I mentioned how Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most intelligent, the most knowledgeable, and the cleverest of the whole of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And how, you know, Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had meticulously planned everything. Well, check this out. Makkatul Mukarramah. Now, the kuffar know that the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going to migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah. Madinatul Munawwarah is almost due north. So, they are going to give chase. And they actually make an announcement. And they announce 100 red camels. It's like saying 100 Ferraris in today's day. For the person who captures the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you've got the entire Makkah, the disbelievers, running about trying to find Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's planning, wow, amazing. While everybody was running in that direction, thinking that obviously they were going to migrate to Medina, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ghar Thawr. And all the way up the mountain, stayed there for 3 days. This was in the total opposite direction. Total opposite direction. Even then, people came to search in this area. But look at the hikmat and the wisdom that the majority of people were going to search on the path to Medina. But they weren't going to find the best of creation there. Why? Because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was outsmarting them all. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was patiently waiting for the opportunity to leave in Ghar Thawr. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar is walking with the best of creation. After a short time, and what can you say about Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? You know, so far as devotees are concerned, it doesn't get any better than Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he is with, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and suddenly he sees footprints. And then he looks down at the feet Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and realizes that the feet Mubarak are bleeding. He then tries to get rid of the footprints, and he then says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will carry you. Two reasons. One, we'll save on the footprint. But two, your feet, Mubarak, seem to be tired and bleeding, so it would make it easier for you. Can you believe, if those of you who have been to Ghar Thawr, how difficult that climb is? But look at the power that Allah granted to Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his love and his passion. Allahu Akbar. He carried the best of creation on his shoulders up that mountain. Subhanallah. They get to the top. They get to the cave. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, you wait here. I will go in and clean. He goes and cleans the cave. He plugs all the holes. And there's one hole left that he hasn't got any cloth. He tears his own cloth and turban to try and plug all the holes. But there's one that left that he can't. He then invites the best of creation in. And everything's perfect now, apart from that one hole. So he puts his foot to cover that hole, just in case something was to come through there and, you know, disturb the best of creation, some insect or something else. This is how the level of his love and affection. So he does this, he prepares everything. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he starts to rest on the lap of Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wow, what a scene that would have been. And Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is just lost in the vision of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, he has to be the most luckiest in the creation of Allah azza wa jal. Now, while he's lost, he's still got his foot in that one hole that he wasn't able to block. And a snake starts to bite him. But he doesn't flinch. He doesn't disturb the best of creation. He doesn't want to disturb the best of creation. So he just stays there. And, you know, he's just mesmerized by the beauty of this face. And eventually, because of the poison, a tear comes out of his eye and drops onto the blessed face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened their eyes, Mubarak, and they say, "Oh Abu Bakr, what has happened? What's the problem?" And Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has to be the leader of all those devotees, all those lovers of anybody, all those, you know, passionate enthusiasts of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if a snake bites you, the first thing you do, now that the best of creation is awake, okay, we can understand that the Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, he doesn't want to disturb them, he puts up with the pain and everything else and the poison going through him and the snake biting him. But now that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is awake, all he needed to say is, "Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a snake has bit me." But the scholars write something amazing. The first thing he said is, "Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you." And then he says, "A snake has bitten me." Now the scholars say here that look at the level of devotion that Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, you know, in that situation, it is an emergency. A snake is biting him. He's already done his duty. He didn't want to wake the best of creation. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up on their own accord effectively. But even then, the respect and honor of the Prophet deserved that before Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu said, "Ki a snake has bitten me, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you, a snake has bitten me." Wow. You will never get somebody who has such amazing love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal like Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam apply their saliva mubarak, lo'abe dahan mubarak, to the foot of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it heals. And the scholars write something amazing, that, you know, this was an amazing situation. The entire creation of Allah was just looking at this situation because it was unique. Why would a snake suddenly appear and repeatedly bite Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the greatest in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal after all the prophets? There is no doubt. The ummah is, you know, all agreed on that. This is after the prophets, who have a very special status, there is nobody in the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal like Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So why did the snake bite him? And the scholars write something amazing. They say that actually that snake had been waiting there just to catch a glimpse of the last and final messenger. He was like the many raibs and the many people and the many kings and the many prophets who wanted to see that beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he'd been waiting in that cave for a long, long time. I think the scholars say centuries. And when that opportunity came, when the height of the climax of his life was coming to him, that all these years in waiting, now the best of creation is there, I'm going to see this amazing, amazing last and final messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala puts his foot there. And the snake can't bear that. And the scholars say that's why it bit, in the hope that he'd move his foot and the snake could catch a glimpse of the face of the best of creation. But little did the snake know that there was somebody who was more eager and more passionate and more enthusiastic than him. And that was Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. That cave was amazing. You know, there was a famous hadith in Mubarakah where Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "You can have all my deeds, all of my deeds, but just give me that one night in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And you know, all the deeds of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, how much they are. One night Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sat with Hazrat Aisha Shadika radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she's looking up at the stars and she says, "Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there anybody in this world who has the same number of good deeds as the stars in the heavens? You know, trillions of them." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Yes, my Umar." And she's slightly taken aback because she thinks, "What about my father?" So she asks. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Okay, all of Umar's deeds are not comparable to one of Abu Bakr." Subhanallah. That one of the cave was amazing. Piyar Islam Bayo, this is true love. That Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu sacrificed everything. Allah Azza wa Jal protected the beloved Habib. There was one time where the son of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala would come to the cave in the three nights, and he would bring food and he would spend time guarding the cave. During the day, he would go back to the Kufar of Makkah, see what they were scheming, see what they were planning, where the people were running about, where they were searching, and he would provide, come back and provide this information to Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah did his duty. Then Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 3 days there. And you know, the daughter of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu is preparing the food, bringing the food. The son of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is helping guard the cave and helping to get information. And the other daughter of Nabi Akreem, of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Ummul Mu'mineen, the wife of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is there in the cave looking after Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This entire family was blessed. Allahu Akbar. You know, we owe every ummati of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owe a great debt of gratitude to Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and the family of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, because they were the amazing people who helped the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when there was no one else there. These people sacrificed everything. They took on dangers. They were fearless. And they gave Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comfort in that difficult time. My dear Islamic brothers, the kuffar are searching. There comes a time when they come up this mountain, because they can't find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anywhere else. They're thinking, where has he disappeared to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So they come, they climb, and they come close to the cave. But Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah, the works of the Creator are amazing. A spider comes and builds a web in front of the cave entrance. A pigeon comes and lays some eggs there. So they come up to this, and literally they are at the foot of the cave. If they look down, they see everybody. And yet, they think, well, there's eggs here, there's a web here, nobody could have possibly entered. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, on hearing their footsteps, becomes nervous. Not for himself. He was never nervous for himself. He was just worried about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The enemy is very close, he says. If they lowered their gaze, they will be able to see us. So he says this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the enemy is here. If they just look down, they'll be able to see us. The best of creation says, La tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana. Grieve not, surely Allah is with us. Subhanallah. Surah Tawbah, verse 40. Subhanallah. Allah then pours peace and tranquility into the heart of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, after which he became totally fearless. I mean, he was never fearful for himself. It was just Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after that, he knew that everything would work out. Allahu Akbar. These are the merits of Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, the Naat Khan of the court of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, and the second of the two climbed the mountain in the elevated cave whilst enemies searched for them. He is the beloved of the Messenger of Allah, who likened none else to him, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, a reality known by all of creation. And essentially what he's saying there is, after the prophets, there is nobody more amazing, more magnificent, and higher ranked than Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. After 3 days, on the first of Rabi al-Nur Sharif, the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal left the cave of Sa'ar, and with Abdullah arriving with the two camels as planned. Then Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode one blessed camel, and Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala rode the other, with Abdullah walking ahead of them. Now he was the master of the routes. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had employed him specifically for a purpose. And so while the kuffar of Makkah are searching everywhere else, he very cleverly took the route which was most uncommon. He went along the coastal route to Madinatul Munawwara. And subhanallah, this was the safest journey. But still, there were difficulties along this route. People were along, because the bounty was so great and the title was so potentially great that everybody was out looking. So the kuffar are searching everywhere. It was on this journey that many people came across the best of creation. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed many people. This was a journey like no other. You know, today when you go from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, during Hajj it takes 12, 14 hours because of stops and everything else. But even on a straight journey, it's a good 4 or 5 hour drive with a few short stops for namaz, etc. But you see the barren landscape and you see how difficult it was. Can you imagine how difficult it was in the hot Arabian Peninsula when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going along those routes? But even then, there was miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm going to share a lot with you, but I look at the time today, time's really flown. I mean, we've talked about one of the greatest incidents, that, you know, what happened in the cave of Thor, and, you know, the Ashiq Sadiq, this amazing devotee and his actions, and how his family surrounded Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planned everything to perfection. Why? Because this was the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the greatest of all planners. Now, I don't want to start my next part in this amazing journey. I'm going to leave that for next week. But you've got one of the most famous horse riders and bounty hunters in Arabia who is looking for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and does find them. But what happens after he finds them, you will find out next week. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come across a cottage, and there is a lady there, and they ask for some food. But she says, "We don't have anything. If we had something, I'd give it to you." But then suddenly, something amazing happens in that cottage. And it's so amazing that, you know, 1460 years later, people are still talking about the incident that happened in that cottage. And then that lady gave a description, which I'll share with you next week, which was absolutely mesmerizing. She describes something that has mesmerized the Ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 1460 years. Her words were pearls and corals and diamonds. And those diamonds I'm going to share with you next week, inshallah. We've run out of time. I've just got a little bit of time for my last segment. But this is the beauty of talking about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't want to stop. You know, people's lives have ended. People have spent, you know, the pens have dried, the ink has gone. And yet, we haven't been able to complete one chapter of your beautiful life, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have to stop it there. We're going to move to our easy deed section. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
So, moving on to our easy good deeds. Now, every week, we talk about some easy good deeds. And today, I've got something really special for you. If I can just open my file. There is one thing that we need to learn to do regularly. Now, the scholars write is that if you do this particular thing, you will remain in the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you carry on doing this particular thing, then you are reaping the rewards of the mercies in this world. The bounties will come running to you, and you will be protected from all calamities. Now, this thing is the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. The zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is so amazing that it single-handedly can change your life. This zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is the essence of our creation. It is the food for your spirit. You know, if you can home in on this food, then it can change your life. This food for your spirit, for your soul, can enlighten you. And the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is truly something magnificent. There's a famous waqia of a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what he walks along a path for some time, and then suddenly he turns around and he goes back to the beginning. And when he's asked why, he says, "Well, during that part of the journey, I didn't do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that means that that was really a waste. So I'm going back to the beginning and starting again to make sure that I spend my time just doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal all the time." This is how amazing this is. You know, today we spend time talking about the wrong things. Today we spend time gossiping and backbiting. Today we spend waste our time on all sorts of issues. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us that the most amazing thing that you can do with your time is do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. This zikr is so amazing that it protects you from calamities. This zikr is so amazing that it saves you from difficulties. This zikr is so amazing that it saves you from yourself and sins of the self. This zikr is so magnificent that it is forgiveness for your sins. You know, saying Subhanallah once gets you a date palm in Jannah. I mean, how amazing is that? That every time you say Subhanallah, you will end up with a tree in Jannah. But not only that, you know, getting hundreds and thousands of good deeds just by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And then the greatest wazifa, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, give me some special thing to read. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, O Musa, read La ilaha illallah. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, this, everybody reads this. Allah Azza wa Jal replied, Ya Musa, if you put the entire creation in one pan of the balance and put La ilaha illallah on the other, this is still heavier. This is how amazing it is. And yet, you know, we don't spend time looking at these things. There are special wazaif like Subhanallah wa bihamdi, and it gets you so many blessings and so many barakats and so many bounties. And when you see the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, if you say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, it gets you amazing blessings, and you are fulfilling a very fundamental, basic principle where you're looking at a thing and saying, this is, you know, like Allah Azza wa Jal created me, Allah Azza wa Jal created this as well. And you acknowledge this. And the purpose of that entity, the bird or the animal or whatever it is, the beauty of that is fulfilled because it was created for you to appreciate the amazing creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. But also, you are filling your book with good deeds. Now, rather than talk about, you know, the wrong thing, staying quiet is better. So if you think you're going to fall into difficulty and you're in a gathering or something where you might say the wrong thing, stay quiet. This is what the scholars say. And better than staying quiet is the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you keep your tongue moist in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, you can never fail. Everything you do, you will be successful in. And everywhere you go, mercies and bounties will follow you. Try and spend this week just increasing the zikr we do. Try and read Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, 33, 33 and 34 times after every salah. And watch the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal come in. Try and recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad after every salah. Nek Amal card of Dawat-e-Islami, and you can download the app. It's a brilliant app. And you know, every night before you go into sleep, if the app is there, log in and simply open it up and go through the questions. And one of the questions asks you about the zikr you've done during the day. And try and make it a habit to do a fixed amount of zikr and then watch how your life changes. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world. The mercy to the world, the mercy to the world, the mercy to the world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.